the Lord. I do not have a homiletically arranged sermon tonight. I have just come with a potpourri of thoughts and feelings and emotions in my mind.
Praise the Lord.
I have a newspaper article here. I have a religious article here. I have an invitation to a sickening two-day workshop here. I have another invitation to an equally sickening workshop here, and I don't know how many of these items I'll pull from the grab bag tonight and talk about, but I have several articles here from the Eau Claire paper, drinking age issue complex. Here's another one. I don't know if they're boasting or what, or just stating facts, but we are first in teen pregnancy. And oh, look at this one. Committee appointments made, and I have underlined in red, David Lee, Donna Keeler, David Lee, Donna Keeler. I brought that over to remind us to pray for these people, that they will have an influence upon our present society, present evil society, the Bible says. I do not have a homiletically arranged message tonight. I usually come with some continuity of thought. Tonight I just have a grab bag or a barrel. I'm just going to reach in and just talk to you about some of the things that I have been feeling lately, and I would imagine that yourselves, about some of the things that are happening in the world today. Of course, what I'll be talking about basically is the second coming of Jesus. I will not be talking in detail. I will not be relating to you my particular beliefs on the subject, and everybody is, I guess, entitled to their own ideas, and we'll all find out what was right when Jesus comes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We know there are people that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and there are people that believe in a mid-tribulation rapture, and there are people that believe in a post-tribulation rapture. And then there are other people that believe in premillennialism and postmillennialism, no mid-millennialisms, but anyway, there are some that believe in, they call it pan-millennialism, and they make a little humor out of that, and they say, I believe everything's going to pan out all right, so don't worry about pre or post. Well, I take it a little more seriously than that, but I do not insist that I have all the details down exactly right, but there are some things that I think we can all agree on tonight, and I would like to just talk about a few of those things. Because, you know, there may come a day, and it may be right around the corner, when the Pentecostals, the Jesus-named Pentecostals and the Assembly of God and the Nazarenes and the Baptists and the Lutherans and who else might have to hide in the same cave together. And we may not agree doctrinally in that cave, but we'll all be trying to survive.
Amen.
I don't know what's coming on this world. I really don't know. I just know that there are some terrible things coming on this world, and Jesus said it would be so bad that men's hearts would fail them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. And I just happen to believe the Word of God word for word. I believe it exactly.
Amen.
I love the Word of God, and I'll put my trust in it rather than in the opinions of men. Praise the Lord. Although we all have our opinions and our interpretations about things, that's not what I mean. But when men directly oppose the Word of God, then I have no time for that. If the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, then I believe that. I believe that there are some terrible times coming, fierce times, the Bible says, very difficult times to deal with, and those things are happening so rapidly. While we have many differing beliefs about God and the second coming and even the doctrine of salvation, yet I repeat, there may come a time when we'll have to fight together. I appreciate the accelerated Christian education system. Of Brother Nichols and myself particularly get involved in discussion and dialogue with these people, and we have learned to love and respect so many of them. I mean, they have a drive and they have a determination and they want separation from the world and so on. By no means am I suggesting that we join them or let them join us. By no means am I saying that. But I am saying that there is a common battle going on today. There is a fierce warfare that's raging tonight. I didn't bring all the articles that I have filed away. I could have brought stacks of folders like this to pull out article after article just to show you what's going on in the world today. As if you don't know. You know what's going on. You read the papers. You hear the news. You know that we're in a battle today. Amen. And the battle is between right and wrong. It's between black and white. It's between sin and righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to be like Jesus and love righteousness and hate iniquity. Amen. But there is a battle going on. And that battle is basically between righteousness and evil. You'll see it everywhere. It's on in the educational system today. It's on in politics today. Between nations today. It's everywhere. But one thing is certain. No matter how much you know or how little you know, or how right you are or how wrong you are with the details, regarding the details of the second coming of Jesus, Jesus taught us to be ready for in such an hour as you don't suppose it's going to take place. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. What a warning we have right in at the beginning of his message about his second coming. Take heed that no man deceive you. There is a lot of deception going on in the world today. Now, I know that the world at large is deceived, but it saddens my heart. It makes my heart weep when I see Christians deceived. And last night we read a report from a church in Seattle that is just totally deceived. Deceived. The Bible says it is not good for a man to touch a woman. And they are touching other mates, wives, and so on. And I am in total disagreement with that. And I want to echo the words of Jesus tonight. Take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. Don't be taken in. Not by the world, neither by religious leaders that are leading people into sin, leading people astray, leading people to do things that are in opposition to the Scripture. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. As I read Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as they record this message of Jesus, I get the idea that he's talking to me. He's telling me not to be deceived, and he's telling me how to respond to what is happening in the world tonight. When I read the newspapers or hear the news about the wars that are taking place, and there are many wars tonight, going on. And I read about Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, and we read about Libya and Libyan terrorism, and we read about the bombings and all of these things, and then you read the papers, I should say, right after the American attack on Libya, on certain places in Libya, and we read in the papers that they got the jitters over there, and there was some machine gun fire at their headquarters, and there's fear instilled in the people. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, you can be sure. But you know, there's a false hope in the world today. And that false hope was, at one time, the League of Nations, and that failed, and then they formed the United Nations, and that is miserably failing, in my opinion, if you please. Thank you. But I think that all attempts and all efforts at bringing peace to this world are failing and are destined to fail. There will never be peace on earth without the Prince of Peace coming back to this earth, Jesus the Christ. Praise the Lord. And just in case anybody gets a false hope or a false idea and thinks that President Reagan maybe is going to restore peace and order in the world, listen to the apostle as he says in the scripture, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. So don't ever think that there's going to be peace on earth. No, those days are gone forever. The Bible says in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And I look at that to mean that there will always be wars and rumors of wars. I think that that means that Russia will never rule the world, just like the preacher said last or Friday night. Brother Monroe, what's his name? Gillum, Brother Gillum. Just like he said Friday night, Russia's not going to rule the world. The yellow race, China's not going to rule the world. America is not going to rule the world. The Bible says there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. By no means am I saying that America will not be involved in war. We were involved in the First World War. We were involved in the Second World War. We were involved in Vietnam. We were involved in the Korean conflict. And we'll be involved probably until we're wiped off the face of the earth or until Jesus comes. And either one of those can happen. America is nothing special to God unless she falls on her face and repents of her sin and turns from her wicked ways and cries out, God, we've sinned against you. Have mercy on the United States of America. We are no special people to God. We are not the Israel of God. We are one of the nations of the earth, one of the heathen nations of the earth until the gospel came to us and Americans accepted that gospel. And America is in a terrible condition tonight. And America may very well be punished from God for her sins. And you and I might be hiding out in caves one day. I don't know that. I don't have a pretty picture to paint. No preacher has an honest, pretty picture to paint, because the Bible doesn't paint a pretty picture about the bloody end of time. It's not going to be roses and tulips and then we're going to fly away without a scar. It doesn't sound that way to me at all. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. America may very well be punished for her wickedness. And if she's punished, she'll probably be punished by her own sin or punished by other nations. You know from reading the history of Israel in the Bible, you've read through the Bible over and over, going by our reading charts and so on. And you know when you read the history of Israel that God would from time to time punish her by the hand of other nations. God would let other nations take them into captivity and punish them for their wickedness. And who am I to stand here and say, America is angelic, and America shall not be punished, and America has so much power, she has so much military might that she's never going to be punished. I could never say that. America may be bombed, and America may be bombed right off the face of the earth. China might have the gospel receive the gospel, and China might be the one that God will use. How do we know? Russia can be converted. Russia is not some big bad nation that people say it is from, and they get that from the Bible. No, the Bible says go in the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to all nations. Amen. And if Russia receives the gospel, God can just shove America aside and use Russia in our place. Amen. America needs to pray, and we need to be praying on Thursday. Amen. We need to pray every day, but on Thursday we need to acknowledge that National Day of Prayer and pray for President Reagan, pray for his cabinet, pray for all of our leaders in positions of authority tonight. We need to pray for them that God will give them sense, and so that they can make some decent decisions. You know, I would much rather be a God-fearing nation than a powerful military nation.
Amen.
Much rather. I have no qualms with what they're doing and building up our military might. That's not my business. But I will say this, I would feel much safer in the arms of Jesus than I would in a tank.
Right.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we read on. Distress of nations with perplexity. That's in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. That's a very interesting verse. Luke 21, verse 25. No. Yes. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring. Of course, you know from reading the prophecies in the Old Testament and reading the book of Revelation that the sea and the waves roaring are the people and the nations of the world. They're roaring, and they're roaring tonight. Distress of nations with perplexity. Just this afternoon, to refresh my memory, I pulled my Bynes Greek word study book off the shelf and I looked that word perplexity up. I knew what it meant, but I just wanted to make sure. I do that all the time. Here's what it means, according to Bynes. Perplexity means, now this is the state of the world today. This is the condition of the nations today. With perplexity, distress of nations, with perplexity. The League of Nations couldn't solve our problems. The United Nations cannot solve our problems. Distress of nations with perplexity. No solution to their embarrassments. Word for word. No solution to their embarrassments. Being at one's wit's end. Being at one's wit's end. Another, at a loss how to proceed without resources. Now, the only resource available and willing to help us is God Almighty.
Amen.
And it says here, they're without resources. When I read that, something leaped in my spirit and said, they are without God. Romans 1 says that they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, filled with all unrighteousness, and on it goes, describing the wickedness that we have seen developing even more and more in the world as time goes on. Distress of nations with perplexity, sea and waves roaring, unrest everywhere, unrest everywhere. How do you handle all that? I'll tell you how I handle it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's going to happen. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love to take excerpts, especially from this psalm, and just quote them to myself. He shall deliver thee. And we sing that song. He is able to deliver thee, and the Holy Ghost falls upon us. I love to quote to the Lord, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." I have these portions underlined, and I love this one. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Do you ever walk around your house and envision those angels? That angelic host that's protecting you. I love to do it. My wife has traveled in our automobile when we felt like we were in a Holy Ghost bubble. We really did. I felt like I could have let go of the steering wheel, set the cruise control, and got in the back seat and just read the Bible to my wife and let the car. That's the way I felt. It was so real. It was so real. Praise the Lord. And I told you the other time, we were driving down I-94 and my wife was driving and I was sitting by her side reading the Bible with the dome light on at night, and there was a truck in the semi in the ditch up ahead, and I looked up, it was very, very icy, and I said to my wife, "There's a truck in the ditch down there." And then in a second later we found out why that truck was in the ditch. The car went out of control. The highway was like this and the car was like this. We were going sideways down the road, back and forth, like that. And I took a hold of the wheel because I'm the hero in the family. I took a hold of the steering wheel and I was going to straighten that car out and show my wife how to drive, you know. And I said, "Honey, let go of the steering wheel." And I couldn't turn it. It was turning against my will. I said, "Honey, let go of the steering wheel." And she said, "I did." And she put her hands up in the air. I looked. She did not have her hands on the wheel, and that thing was going against my better judgment. I believe that an angel overpowered me and steered that car to safety, because we did not follow the semi in the ditch. We went right on down I-95 after the angel of the Lord. How many believe in angels? How many believe in miracles? How many believe in God? How many believe this word? This word says that he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Another time we were going down I-94 and we got smacked hard from behind. Totaled out a 1971 Ford. A semi. My wife driving. I'm reading the Bible. Sitting there with the dome light on. And two trucks are down in the ditch. And four trucks are down in the ditch. And semis and two police cars flashing lights. And so my wife pulled over to the left lane. And a truck had been tailing her for a long time, making her nervous, and the truck driver was looking down in the ditch to see what was going on down there, and when my wife slowed down, he didn't, and he hit us from behind, and the car made a horrible sound. It was totaled out, of course, and just before that happened, when I saw the lights, and when we approached that scene, I looked at my wife and the moon was shining from the south in on her window. That was September 6th, I believe. The moon was shining in on her and I could see her form silhouetted against that background. And all of a sudden, I looked and her head was even with the backrest. And all of a sudden, after I saw that, two hands came on my shoulder. She's not that strong. Beside that, I had just seen her minding her business. Two hands came down and shoved me down in the seat. Just like that. And my head was then, even with the headrest. And at that instant, crash, it was all over. The seat broke and so on. And much damage was done to the automobile. Those angels' hands sure felt good to me. How many said they believe in angels? You believe in the Bible? You believe in God? It says here, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Somebody else said, "Well, why didn't the Lord, if he's that great, why didn't he just prevent you from being hit?" Have you got an answer to that?
How many times has he delivered you? We don't know him because you've never been hit.
Yes, that's a good answer. Praise the Lord. And when we ask those questions, you know what we're saying? We're saying, "Lord, I don't really believe. I have some reservations. I have a few doubts about your total ability." Have you ever let go and let God do it his way? I needed a new car and I got one. It says here, there shall no evil befall thee. Now that's evil according to his definition of the word evil. We complain sometimes because we define things differently than the Lord does. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming again. The world is at war tonight. Not the Third World War, I don't mean that, but many nations of the world are fighting against one another, and there are wars and rumors of wars in progress this very night. But in the midst of it all, there's a program going on, and it can't be stopped. And that is the program of the eternal God. He said right in these verses in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, to all nations, and then shall the end come. And I thank God tonight, in spite of war, in spite of church splits, in spite of trouble everywhere, people come in and get saved. We had a family come in and get saved right in the midst of church problems right here. And they're a beautiful family, a precious family here, praise the Lord, in this church. God's program goes on. And I think that is fantastic. Are you with it? Are you in the program tonight? Are you burdened for the souls that eat in the at the table next to you in the restaurant? Or do you just enjoy yourself? Do you shed tears over the lost? That's the program of God that's going on in the world today, in the midst of wars, in the midst of distress, in the midst of perplexity, in the midst of no solution to our problems. Some are being saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he wants you and I to carry on where he left off and to seek and to save that which is lost. Not everybody's going to be saved, but there will be the hungry that will find him and eat at his table. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then there's another verse in those chapters. Luke 21, 17 says that, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You see what I'm saying? All of these other things, terrible things, are going on through this dispensation of grace. But in the midst of it all, God's program is going on. And as it goes on, and as you and I preach this gospel of the name of Jesus Christ, it says you'll be hated of all people for his name's sake. How many think they know where I'm going here?
Praise the Lord.
The gospel is being preached in the midst of war tonight. The gospel is being preached in the midst of family breakdowns, divorces, bitterness, hatred, and all of these other things. The gospel is being preached, and the hungry are finding him, and God is just letting it go on. But there's a culmination day coming. It's coming. There is a time when it will all be over, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. A lot of people are not looking for his coming tonight, and some preachers are even making fun of his coming tonight. And I have walked the streets with those preachers down south, particularly, and they have just not lost hope. They've lost interest in the second coming of Jesus. I have seen it, and I have separated myself from them because I do not want to be corrupted or contaminated with that feeling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Then we read in Matthew 24:12 that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. While the wars are going on, while the earthquakes are taking place, while there are famines here and there in divers places, while all these things are going on, and while the gospel is being preached, and while the true Christians are being hated of all people for his name's sake, there's something else that's happening. Iniquity is abounding. It's increasing. And you know that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he's only going to take so much. And he's already proven that he doesn't like it. I just quoted from Psalms. He's angry with the wicked every day. He doesn't like what's going on down here. And oh, may God have mercy on the person who knows better and then joins forces with the enemy.
Amen.
They will be considered the enemies of Jesus Christ when he comes, the Bible says. Can I prove that? Let me see if I can find it. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say, he becomes evil by what he does, shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite, not forgive, shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers, with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let no man think that I subscribe to the doctrine of eternal security. Unconditional eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I talked in tongues 41 years ago. I went to this altar 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I was a teenage boy when I received the Holy Ghost. And sure, I'm having a few drinks with my friends. Sure, I'm smiting my fellow servant. Sure, I'm doing evil with them. But I was once saved, therefore, I'm going up when Jesus comes. No, you're not. You're going to hell. Jesus said he will give you your portion with the unbelievers. We've got to live for God every day. There's another passage of scripture in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And it says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, lest at any time you be found serving the devil, or one foot over the fence here and one over the fence here, you can't do it. And that's my burden tonight, that the whole church will jump the fence and get in the kingdom of God, or pull that other leg over and get fully into the kingdom of God and serve him with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength.
Amen.
Many places in the Bible, the scripture talks about fools. Fools, that's a harsh word to us. But nevertheless, I have the liberty to quote scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I think that a man is a fool, according to the scripture, if he says there is no God. If he can't look at the mountains and the seas and the skies, when God said the heavens declare his glory and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork, if a man cannot see the creative power of God, and if a man cannot acknowledge God by looking at creation alone, God says he's a fool.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen.
I don't know why I hesitate to tell you what Vine's Greek word study says the word fool means. Do you want to hear it?
Amen.
Blockhead. Blockhead. I read that today. Blockhead. The blockhead had said in his heart, there is no God. I don't know if that's a wooden block or a cement block or what, but there's nothing much up there. I don't know how you say that kindly, but you know what I mean? God said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I have three fools picked out in the scripture here that I just want to mention to you in the next moment or two, but God has many more of them. You just get your concordance out and look up the word fool, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at who God calls fools. The person who gives all their time and all their energy and spends all their gifts and talents on establishing a kingdom of their own down here in the world. God says, thou fool, this night shall thy kingdom be required of thee, or shall thy life be required of thee. A man is a fool who doesn't put God first in his life. God said so, and I think he's able to back up his statements.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you another man that God calls a fool in Proverbs 14:9. It says, fools make a mock at sin.
Right.
And when people can make jokes about the sexual attitude of this society, and when people can make jokes about things, the sin that is going on in the world today, God says they are fools. Fools make a mock at sin. They joke about it.
Right.
That's another fool. But the one that really got me is the one that I have quoted to this church so often. And that's the one that Jesus said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You might not think that he meant it, But he says what he means, and he means what he says. Those two lonely disciples that did not truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus, he said to them, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." I read that and I weep, because I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a person that is slow of heart to believe all of this book. If God says men's hearts will fail them for fear, if God said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, if God said nation will rise against nation, if God said there'll be perplexity, unsolved problems, if God said that sin would abound and the love of many would wax cold, I don't want to be a fool. I want to acknowledge what God says, and I want to fall on my face before Him, and I want to separate myself from anybody and everybody that has an adverse, a negative effect on my spirit or on my mind. I don't want to converse with people that don't believe Jesus is coming again. I don't want to be around people that don't believe in holiness. I don't want to. This world is wide. They can go their way and I'll go my way. My way is going to be right back to the book. I don't want to come under the influence of people that say there are three gods. I don't want to come under the influence of people that say, it doesn't really matter how you baptize. Amen. I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to stick to the Bible. I don't want to be a fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Amen. I believe in God. And we're not hoarding money. And we're not making a mock at sin. And I don't want to be slow of heart to believe. Say, God said it, that's it. If He said return good for evil, I want to be swift to return good for evil. If God said forgive everybody, I want to be swift to forgive everybody. I don't want to fast about it, think about it, pray about it. I want to obey it now, immediately, because God said so. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Slow of heart. And then we read in Luke 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life." He warns us not to be overwhelmed, overcome, overtaken by, not to be overdoing the cares of this life. I could say a lot of things right now that come to my mind. I wouldn't offend anybody for the world, but I'd save everybody that I could from the world. "For, and so that day come upon you unawares, too busy with your own projects to have time for Bible reading, daily devotions, prayer, family altar, church altar, pre-service prayer, post-service prayer, and so on. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." No one exempt. "Lest at any time," oh, how we need to watch and pray, "lest we enter into temptation." And remember this, some people are waiting for some spectacular thing to take place. Oh, when they start laying stones over in Jerusalem, when they start building the temple, then I'll repent. Oh, when the tribulation starts coming, then I'll repent. Oh, when the Antichrist puts on his clothes and we read the 666 on his back or forehead or something, then I'll repent and run to the altar and get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I'll live for God. No, no, the Bible doesn't say that. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 all tell us the same thing. That it's going to be a day just like today. It says they'll be eating and they'll be drinking. And they'll be buying and they'll be selling. And they'll be planting and they'll be building. And then suddenly it will happen. Remember in Noah's day, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. until the flood came. They were all unaware of it until the flood came and took them all away. It's going to happen again. This book says so. We better be ready, not tomorrow, tonight. We better have our souls cleansed tonight. We better be blood washed tonight. We better forgive everybody tonight. We better be ready to go tonight. Praise the Lord. Obscenity, seizure, I praise God for that. Police seizing allegedly obscene materials from dealers do not have to provide special proof before getting court authority. The Supreme Court by a 6-3 vote, the justices set the same standard to apply when police seek court warrants to seize allegedly obscene materials as in cases where police seek to seize illegal drugs or weapons. The ruling means video cassettes seized from a store in Depew, New York in 1983 may be used as evidence in an obscenity prosecution. A sheriff's deputy took the films, which were titled as "Terrible." But anyway, I'm glad for that temporary victory. Then I have these seminars here. Sexual attitude reassessment seminars, and you ought to read that. No, you ought not read it. Here's their program. We want to improve services provided to patients and students with sexual concerns. Participants who have a primary, just listen to these smooth words. Doesn't the Bible say, Psalm, 55:21? I forgot. Their words are smooth as butter. They got a knife back here. Just listen to these buttery, oily, smooth words. Participants in this sexual attitude reassessment seminar. Participants who have a primary affectional relationship with another person. We have made fornication and adultery sound so appetizing. Haven't we? A primary affectional relationship with another person. Are encouraged to attend the seminar as a couple. Doesn't say married couple either. These things boil God's blood in my blood and your blood if you hate righteousness, hate wickedness and love righteousness. However, people not currently involved in such a relationship will also benefit from this seminar. Seminar was first offered by the program of Human Sexuality in 1971. Oh, see the scheme? See the scheme? As part of the University of Minnesota Medical School curriculum. See how they do it? Isn't that a scheme though? Do you see the devil's scheme?
Yeah.
Just get it. Get it in the educational system. Get it in the school. Get it in some institution somewhere. Try this thing out and get the big boys behind you and then just splash it all over.
Right.
The seminar was first offered. That was step one in the devil's scheme. Offered by the program of Human Sexuality in 1971 as a part of the University of Minnesota Medical School. Who's going to argue with the medical school? I mean, they are approved by society. Let me have my fun for a minute here. Listen to this. This just irritates. I'd go to one of these things if they didn't charge you for it. I couldn't see spending a nickel on it. But I am just waiting for a chance to be in one of these. I'll tell you what I want to do. Let me finish. Okay, here.
Since then, I underline
that with black lead heavily. Got this now? First offered, University of Minnesota. Since then, the two-day seminar has also been adapted to serve the needs of other health and social service professionals, educators, clergy, and the public. I have been to clergy meetings here in Eau Claire, and I'm going to tell you the facts tonight. One of the first times I went years ago, I had to move the ashtray to sit on the seat. It was for clergy, nothing but clergy. I had to move the ashtray to sit on the seat, the chair. Then the meeting began, And I don't want to, I don't want to name any churches tonight, but since I've been to a church, that's here in the city of Eau Claire. If I have my notes here, I can tell you a whole lot more. Maybe Sister Mackin's going to experience the same thing. I don't know. I never did see him at one. That one that I went to anyway. Clergy and the public.
Special seminars, honorary quotes, informed approach to various sexual issues and concerns.
Attitudes and values make, better believe they will. Okay, let me tell you what I was going to tell you. I was going to tell you that if I ever have a chance, and you better believe it, I've got the boldness to do it. And I've been longing to do it. I want to stand up in the middle of one of those meetings, and I want to say, but God says, and then be put down. I'm expecting to be put down. And then I want to say before the public, and I hope many people are there, then I want to say, as I hold the Bible high, do you not believe in the Bible? I would like the public to know that a lot of these leaders do not believe the Bible.
Amen.
You see, the public doesn't know what's in the Bible. But back in their minds, down in their hearts, they still believe the Bible is God's book.
Right.
But they have been lied to. They have been deceived. And if somebody could stand up and hold that Bible up and say, don't you believe in the Bible? Be ready to be put down. That doesn't bother me. They can put me down, they can put me out. I just want to make my point quickly and be glad to get out. You know, nothing to stay for. The world needs to know that these people have rejected God's word. They have rejected Jesus Christ. They do not want to retain him in their knowledge. There is a diabolical plot, a diabolical scheme behind this whole business. Boy, it's quiet in here, but it's right anyway.
Amen.
Here's another one, and I'll name it, Planned Parenthood.
Amen.
I don't like it.
Amen.
I don't like it.
Right.
Isn't that soft, greasy, oily words? Planned Parenthood. Let us help you. You know what they tell you? Promiscuity is all right.
Right.
In fact, we will keep you out of trouble. We will give you some things here that will keep you out of trouble. Come on, boys and girls, have your fun, you know?
Right.
You know what's going to happen?
True.
Okay, I'll just read you a little of this. Planned Parenthood enacted legislation aimed at reducing the number of teen pregnancies. Now, anybody but a fool knows how to reduce teen pregnancies. You just outlaw immorality.
Amen.
Oh, but we can't legislate morality. You can too. They're lying to us. They do it all the time. Aimed at reducing the number of teen pregnancies and abortions through education and prevention programs. Soft, oily, greasy words. They got a knife in their back. It's the devil behind the whole scheme. And I'm on record. And I'm ready to die. Hallelujah. Michael Somebody, University of Minnesota, has extensively researched and found out more than God knows. I added that. Has extensively researched the impact of teens and physicians that the Minnesota parental consent law has had. And on and on it goes. The pro-choice commitment. Come and join us. You know what man has done and is doing? Man has legalized sin. Man has legalized transgression of God's law. And then they send out these things and call for unity. Clergy, come and help us solve the problems that have resulted from legalizing transgression of God's law. That's exactly what they've done.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself. That's exactly what they've done. They have legalized transgression of God's law, and then they call for unity. I get letters in the mail, will you help us? They want us to give them money for their ungodly projects.
Right.
My wife and I, we don't need a furnace sometimes. We can heat the house ourselves. Should not that bother a Christian?
Yeah. Amen.
David said, I wept rivers of tears when I saw that they did not keep God's law. Rivers of waters came down my eyes, David said. So many things here that I just threw in the bag. I'm going to close with this one. Also, be careful for religious deceivers, false prophets. I have an article here from the pastor of a multi-thousand member church, I think 4,000 plus a mammoth TV outreach. And I underlined some things here I'd just like to read to you, and I'd like to disagree with publicly. I'm breaking in the middle of his message somewhere. We talk a great deal about the kingdom lifestyle. I really believe it is within our grasp. I remember when somebody writes, it's not always all wrong, but I'll point out the things that I don't like. But we must learn from the past and adhere to the revelation we have been given that man, the revelation we have been given that man must play a direct role in the redemption and recovery of fallen man and the cursed earth. Remember, these are Pentecostal people, not oneness, but Pentecostal people. We've got to see this, that there is something beyond personal salvation and redemption. The corporate redemption of mankind and his habitation, the earth. I don't have a scripture written down, but I might be able to find one. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But this man says, we must see there is something beyond personal salvation and redemption, the corporate redemption of mankind and his habitation, the earth. The Bible sounds just the opposite to me. Thousands are falling for this teaching. I have friends that have fallen for it. This is a dimension we have not thought a great deal about. We have left concern for the earth to environmentalists and ecologists. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We must recover it for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We cannot separate our own salvation and redemption from that of all mankind and the earth itself. I beg your pardon. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
God's eternal purpose is to redeem all mankind and the earth he created. You know, some people would like to improve on the love of God. I had a dear sister tell me one time that she just didn't believe God was going to cast anybody in hell. Just didn't believe that God would actually put a human body in hell and that it would burn. She didn't believe. Well, I said to this dear sister, you must be better than God then. You must have a higher opinion of yourself than you do of God. Don't fool yourself. If God says it, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Amen.
And this is how you have to keep yourself. You've got to keep yourself in that Word of God, or some religious or irreligious prophet is going to lead you astray. I cannot merely sit here on this planet. Now listen to this, here it comes. They're going to poke fun at us, especially me. And I have dropped these bombs in churches, and they haven't liked it. I got up in a church one time, they asked me to testify. They asked me to testify. And all I said was, boy, it's going to be wonderful when Jesus comes. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. And the whole thing went, I ruined the service. They said I would be deceived because I would make the mistake of looking for Jesus to come, looking for Christ to come, when the Antichrist is going to come. And I'll fall for the Antichrist and think he's Jesus Christ. That's what they told me. I won't be fooled. I cannot merely sit here on this planet and focus my eyes on some heaven on a faraway planet. Who said heaven's on a faraway planet anyway? I cannot merely sit here on this planet and focus my eyes on some heaven. Now, that's not very nice talk about God's heaven.
Amen.
When you say some heaven somewhere, that's ridiculing the Word of God. I cannot merely sit here on this planet and focus my eyes on some heaven, on a faraway planet, and relinquish this earth to Satan. God never gives up on anything he creates. But the Bible says God gave them over. God gave them up to vile affections. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. No scriptures are quoted here. I'm quoting the scriptures. God never gives up on anything he creates. I just read to you in Genesis 6, he gave up on the old world. He said, I'm going to destroy them. When we focus, listen to this, when we focus on leaving this earth, in other words, when we make the horrible mistake of focusing on leaving this earth, we lose our natural desires. Our interest here wanes. Peace, order, order. Follow me. God bless you. Praise the Lord. When we focus on leaving this earth, we lose our natural desires, our interest here wanes, and we reduce ourselves to becoming people content to sit here and die like the lepers in the Bible. That's bad. That's bad. I don't mean to close on a bad note, but that's bad. He wasn't looking for something to come. Oh, wait a minute, here. Methuselah lived to be over 900 years old. Why? Well, for one thing, he didn't have food contaminated with deadly preservatives. Now, this is a Pentecostal pastor of a church of 4,000 people. But more importantly, he had a different perspective for his life. Now, he knows more about Methuselah than the Bible tells us about Methuselah. Or he's writing more about Methuselah. He wasn't looking for something to come and rapture him away from the earth. He accepted his responsibility for making this earth a more livable place. He had a mission to accomplish. I don't know if what I'm saying tonight is controversial or not, but this is very controversial to me. Listen to this. Methuselah wasn't looking for something to come and rapture him away. Now, what a way to talk about Jesus. Something. He wasn't looking for something. Who's going to rapture us away? Why make fun of the rapture? Why make fun of Jesus' second coming and say he wasn't looking for something to come and rapture him away from the earth? What's wrong with being raptured away from the earth? He accepted his responsibility. You know what I said when I read this? I said, poor Enoch, he had it all wrong. Poor Enoch, he had it all wrong, huh? Enoch must have rejected his responsibility for making the earth a more livable place. Do you know that when Jesus left this earth, he didn't make it a more livable place? He didn't solve the poverty problem. He said, the poor you will always have. Just before he left, he said, just before he died, he said, you will have the poor with you always. He never took care of all the social problems of the world. He never did that. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He preached a strong, clear, powerful message. Amen. Amen. I can weep when I read these things. We too have a mission on this earth. We must reclaim not only mankind for the kingdom of God, but also the earth for the kingdom of God. When Jesus left, he gave his church the mandate to become what he had been on this earth. Can you deny this concept, theologians? Further, he promised he would return to receive his bride when she had matured enough for the marriage. And then they go into the book of Solomon. They talk about the little girl, you know, and she wasn't mature, and so she wasn't ready. Oh, my. I tell you, I have a responsibility, and that is to expose false doctrine, false teaching. And I am taking that responsibility tonight. He says, he's coming back when she has matured enough for the marriage. I don't believe that is in the Bible. Don't believe you can find that in the Bible anyway. Where in the Bible does it say that the church is going to mature before Jesus can come back? I read in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And we talk, and I see people jumping and cheering and clapping their hands. This is a glorious church, and she's growing up without spot or without wrinkle. Let me add something to that. I would like to say she's not only going up from the earth, but she's coming out of the grave and going up. We must not forget the dead in Christ. Are they mature? Did they die in maturity or immaturity? Are only those that died fully mature going up? Or is Jesus coming for an underground church also? Is he coming for a church that lived and died for him, that were faithful unto death?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.